Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Daf Chof Aleph. And yesterday we learned that if you actually would have cut through the Mafreket, including the Rov Bosa around the Mafreket, so Rabbi Zeir, can you hear me? I know I'm talking a little bit low. Okay? So according as we saw from Zeiri, that the halacha is that such an animal is actually a nevela and not a trefa. And therefore, there's no possible way that you could do malika on a dead animal. And the only way that we came out with that makes any kind of sense was that you first do your malika by cutting through the mafrekas and making certain that it's below Rov Bas. And therefore, it would only be a trefa. But I mean, shkita also makes things a trefa as part of the act of shkita. So it's perfectly acceptable that malika could make things a trefa on part of the process of malika. And if, however, you would have accidentally cut through Rov Basar before you got to the simanim, ein achinami, it would have been a waste of time because you are cutting through a dead bird, and therefore there would be no point in doing it. I'm pretty sure that we got up to Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. If I make a mistake, please correct me. But that we finished the Braisa, the Tanya Nami Hachi. Is that correct? Everybody with me on that? Well, if nobody wants to correct me, then I will continue. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Now, how about if Nishbara Mafreket? How about if a human being's neck was broken? And Rov Basar Imo, what would be the din? Same thing. He would be Metame Ba'ohel. A person like that would essentially be dead. No matter what signs of life he might be showing, he would be Metame Ba'ohel, just like a mate. Now, the problem is we actually have a real occurrence of such a thing in Tanakh where somebody broke his neck and he did not break the Rov Basar Imo. And Afal Pike, he was considered to be a nevela, a completely dead person. Or what was that referring to? This is the mice of Eli HaKohen. So when they came back and told Eli HaKohen that the Orin Habris was captured by the Plishtim, it says that he fell backwards in his chair, broke his neck, but it says only the neck, broke his neck and died. So if that's the case, then apparently a person is considered to be dead, and it's medayik. It says, Vatishaver mafrakto. His neck bone was broken, vayomot, and he died instantly. So then if that's the case, you see that you don't need Rov Basar in order to be able to be considered dead, because why was Eli pronounced dead instantly? Vayomot. So, Ve'im Tomar, if you ask me from that Maisa of Eli, Otoma Asay de Eli, that did not require Rov Basar. That was Mafreket below Rov Basar. So, you see, you don't need that to be called in an animal, an Avela. Answers the Gemara, Eli was very old, and it actually points this out in the Pasuk as part of the death of Eli. It says, look carefully at the Pasuk, and you'll see that it attributes his death to his old age, along with the broken neck. So he says, Vayikas kiroet arona Elohim, vayipol mi'ala kisea choranit, and as soon as the messenger mentioned the capturing of the Oren Hashem, Eli fell from his chair backwards, be'ad yad hashar, Vatishaver mafrakto vayomot, but it adds, ki zakin ha'ish v'chaved. The man was old and was heavy and therefore broke his neck with great violence. And because of that, he died. But it's mashma. I mean, why do we need to know that? It's mashma that if he would have been a younger man and would have broken it or would have broken his neck with less violence, then in achinami, he wouldn't have been vayomot. So it's all part of the same din. Now, there are other things. Uh-oh, Dr. Barry is trying to escape. I knew it. So, there are other dinim in which I know you need to stay up late tonight for Chag HaShavuot, so we won't blame you if you sneak out. There are other cases in which a dead person is dead, even if he is not obviously dead, and he still seems to be moving, or at least his muscles are moving. So in some of these cases would be Omer B'Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kara O Kadag. If you tear a person open like you would a fish along his entire back, he would be metame in an ohel, even though he is actually still, his muscles are still jerking, but that is not a sign of life. He's considered to be a mace, and he's metame. Omer B'Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, again, when we say this, we mean only migabo, only if it's along his back. Getting back to any type of animal, Omer Shmuel, an animal that is cut into two parts, so you take a sword and split it into two parts, is considered to be a nevela. Another situation like this would be nital hayerech v'chalal shela nikar. So let's say if you remove the entire thigh bone of an animal and you can see from the outside where it was, and you can see that there's a bone missing, it's considered to be a nevela, even though it still seems to be alive. And what do we mean when we say, Echidami chalal shela nikar? Omar Rava, we mean where the animal is in a position of revitza, so it's crouching the way it would when it would go to sleep and so on, and you can still see v'nireit chasera. You can still see as if it's missing its leg, so there's no sign of a bulge where the thigh bone had been. It's not hasa. We also have a Mishnah that we learned together in Ayavais, Utezu Roshehem. Over there, we're referring to the Shmoneh Shvatzim. And it says, if any of the Shmoneh Shvatzim, which are Matame Adam bin Misasim, if their heads were cut off completely, Afapi Shemefarchasin, even though they're still Pirkus, which is the muscular contractions after the organism is dead, there's Matame. Giznava Lita'a B'Kemefarchasin. Look, there's a perfect example of this. If you cut off the tail of a lizard, so it's part actually of its survival evolution, is that that tail goes jerking away as if it's a living lizard, and whatever animal it pounced on, it goes chasing the tail while the lizard gets away. But you see that muscles after the animal's clearly not living do a very good job of moving around. So what's the problem? So this electrochemical stimulus that causes it to move is not the equivalent of life, and therefore there's no din of Frankenstein's monster not being metame in an ohel. He'd certainly be metame in the ohel, even though he's walking around feeling very sorry for himself. My hutazu. So what do we mean when we say cut off in this case? Resh Lakish Omar hutazu mamash. It means a complete cutting through of both of the sources of life for this animal. So both the kana and the veshet were cut. Rav Asi Omar Rabbi Mani, what we're talking about was like an olas ha'of, and it needs to be separated the way an olas ha'of is separated. Now look, I mean, that sounds like the same thing, right? Because an olas ha'of, remember, as opposed to a normal of, in the case of an olas ha'of, you need to be mavdil, not doing shchita, of course, we're doing melika, but you need to be mavdil both of the simanim. So Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabasi, are you saying the same thing he is saying? Because remember, we have a machlokas between the Rabbanan that we had and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon about what we mean by olas ha'of. Is an olas ha'of kosher berov kol echad v'yachad, or is an olas ha'of only kosher in the entirety of kol echad v'yachad? So what did you mean? Did you mean olas ha'of according to the sheet of the Rabbanan, and therefore you're not arguing with Resh Lakish? You're saying the same thing. Resh Lakish said that it was nitas, it was completely cut off. So you're not disagreeing with him, right? Or maybe you meant to disagree. Maybe you meant kavdalat olas ha'of according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that an olas ha'of only requires the rov, because ruba shalachar kamo, even binogia malikas olas ha'of. And Rav Asi said to Rav Yirmiyah, I mean that I am arguing. Obviously, I'm just sitting here making a comparison for no purpose. It was meant to be understood as kehavdalat olata oflu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. I was saying you don't need nitas kula. I was saying that rubai would be sufficient and therefore palgina. Now, there's another version of this whole thing, in which ikidi ame Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar hutezu mamash. It means literally cutting the head off, which obviously means cutting through entirely both simani. And in this version, Rav Asi quoted Rav Mani and said beferish what he meant. I mean, kavdolat olat of, according to Rav Shimon ben Rav Elazar, and it's berov shnayim. So in this version, there was no suffix. This version, it was clear what Rav Mani had said. So we keep talking about this machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, but we never directly address that machlokas. And even though we're familiar with it, we're familiar with it from our other learning of Kachim, we never went into the details of this machlokas and what it's based on. So what do you keep referring to when you say, Alibi the Rabbanan, Alibi the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Tell me more. My Rabbanan, my Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, we have in the Pusik that is describing a Korban Ola V'Yoret. So remember, the Korban Ola V'Yoret has three levels. In the upper level, the person is an usher, so he brings an actual Chatas Behema. But if he can't afford that Chatas Behema, he then brings instead two birds, one of them for chatas and one of them for an oil. So the lashon of the pasuk there is, ve'et hasheni ya'aseh ola kamishpat. Now, what in the world does it mean when it says kamishpat? It doesn't say what the dinim are. It just says to bring it kamishpat. Well, the pasuk before that was referring to the chatas, the bird that was the chatas. It says, Veviotam el hakohen vikrivet asher lechatat rishona umalaket rosho mimul orpo velo yavdil. So this is our classic definition of a chatas of, don't be mavdil, the simonim and the rosh completely, and do malika mimul orpo. This is where we learn out that the lashon of orpo has to mean mimul orpo. And that's the lashon of the chatas. So then it says what to do with it. Yizami dama chatas and so on. But then it moves on to the second bird, which is the ola. And over there, what it says is, ve'et hasheni aseh ola kamishpat. But it doesn't say what that mishpat is. The curious thing is that it never really said anywhere what the dinim are of the Eulas Oif, other than in the case of an Edava. Here we're talking about a new situation where somebody is bringing an Eula as a Cheva from an Oif, and it's part of a dual Korban. And remember when we learned back in Zvachim, we learned the idea, just remind you that the Or Sameach was said so beautifully, that why do we substitute for one mammal, a chatas? When the person can't afford it, why do we substitute two birds? Why do we take a chatas and we make that chatas into a chatas and an oila? It's really weird, isn't it? But when you recognize that the one carbon that has nothing at all that's brought on the Mizbeach except for its dam is the chatas ha'of. And this is a very important principle that we had throughout Zvachim. This is the reason that you can bring a chatas on a suffix, because you're really not bringing kulin lazar, you're not putting anything on the mizbeach. And therefore, the chatas ha'of is a unique carbon, but where's the carbon? There's nothing that the mizbeach eats. There's no achilat ha'mizbeach. The ola, on the other hand, is entirely brought on the mizbeach, which means that the Eulas Ha'of is keneged the busser of the Chatas Behema, and the Chatas Ha'of is keneged the dam of the Chatas Behema. And they equal one Chatas Behema. So that means that Eulas Ha'of and a Chatas Ha'of equals one chatas behema, very beautiful, right? But because of that, it's actually a duo. I mean, it's a single carbon in two parts. And therefore, we don't really know what the din is of an oila that's being brought, not as an oilas nadava, but as a substitute for an oilas behema. That is to say, sort of, right? Because it's coming as the oila part of the chatas behema. So how do we treat it? And you see, because of that, the word kamishpat is very confusing, because kamishpat could mean a number of things. Kamishpat could mean, well, it's being brought in the place of a chatas, treat it like a chatas. It might mean, we'll see what that would mean. It might mean, well, it's an oila, bring it kamishpat that you learned about the oila that's an adava. Treat it the same way, kamishpat, like the old mishpat that you remember from the beginning of Vayikra about an oila sa'of, right? It could also mean following upon the first bird, which is a chatas, when we were told exactly how we were supposed to bring it, and the malika, kamishpat, the bird that we just mentioned. So bring the oila sa'of like the mishpat of the chatas sa'of that I just told you. Now, those three different ways of reading the pasuk, you can see very beautifully how that would follow from the understanding that the oila sa'of that is brought as a korban oil of a yored might be fundamentally different from the oila sa'of that's brought as an adova, and it should actually resemble the chatas behema whose place it took, right? Beautiful. Okay, so therefore, we want to know what it means. So the Braita says like this, and here's where we get to the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan, because it would have implications for that din. D'tanya. In the Braita, it says, reading that posik about the oila sa'of of a korban oil of a yored, what does it say? D'tanya, ve'et ha'shini yaseh ola kamishpat. Well, I say what that means is kimishpat chatat behema. Bring it with the dinim that apply to a chatat behema, because it's meant to take the place of the basar of the chatat behema. Well, wait a minute. Ata omer kimishpat chatat behema? I mean, maybe it means bring it. I mean, the pasuk right before was talking about the first carbon that you bring in the carbon oil of a yored, if you don't have enough money to afford a mammal. So it says, first bring a chatas ha'of, and then the second one, bring kamishpat. Maybe that's what it means. Bring the second one, which is the oila, kimishpat chatat ha'of, treat it like a chatat ha'of, and therefore, since it says, v'lo yavdil, and the malika should only be on one of the simanim, apply that din to this oila, right? And that would mean that as opposed to an oila's nedava, which requires both simanim cut, here do it kamishpat of the chatas that I just mentioned. No, it can't mean that, you see. Because there's another pasuk back at the beginning in Vayikra describing the halachas of a nidvas oila sa'of. So it says over there, the lashon, v'hikrivo hakohen el hamizbeach, umalak et rosho, and so on. So that lashon of v'hikrivo comes to tell us that that oila is fundamentally different between any other bird that you bring. And that means that Halakha Katuv, the Pasuk, is making a clear-cut differentiation by saying it and only it, the Ikrivo, a clear-cut differentiation between an oaf that's brought on the, as an oila, and an oaf that's brought in any other way. And therefore, Halakha Katuv ben chatata oaf lo'olata oaf, by stressing it and only it, it's telling me that do not ever try to apply the dinim of a chatas oath onto an olas bein, an oath. So then when it says kamishpat, it can't be contradicting that pasuk that went out of its way to make that difference. Therefore, mani mekayem kamishpat. How do I understand et hasheni yaseh kamishpat has got to mean kamishpat chatat behima is what it means. And make it the same. We'll see what that means. But do it the same way you would do the chatas behima, whose place you are taking. And what do I mean? Well, a chatas behima can only be brought from chulin. You can't use it. We're going to see later on how we know that. But you cannot use your meiser sheni money, let's say, to bring a carbon. So just like a carbon chatas cannot be brought from meiser sheni money, so too your olas ha'of cannot be brought from meiser sheni. Just like a chatas can only be brought in the daytime. We learned that out from, we'll see, we have two bases, but we're assuming right now that all of this is learned out from that chatas of Aaron. So it's a din in yom, and you can only bring it be yado hayemanit. Everything you do with the chatas, since it says v'lakacha kohen midama be'etzpa'o. Remember, we learned all of this back in Zvachim, that wherever it says both kohen and etzpa, we learn out from Mitzera, it can only refer to his right hand. Now, here too, all of the aveda of the chatas behima can only be done with the right hand. It's telling me the same din. All of these three dinim are true about a chatas ha'of as well. Now, you'll say, but, one second, im ala halan barov shnayim, afkan barov shnayim, a chatas behima requires you to cut through both the kana and the veshet, at least the rov. So, afkan barov shnayim, so maybe that would mean that what you need to do is what you need to do for a chatas, namely, rov. Rubo shalecha kamohu, and therefore it's a perfectly kosher shchita if I cut through rov of both simoni. Talmud lomar, therefore, we understand that that is impossible if from another pasuk. Because if you take a look at the lashon of the pasuk, it turns out to make no sense at all. Because first, the Torah says, umalak vihiktir. Now, the truth is that that doesn't really make sense. Because mahak Torah, what we learned from it, and we'll see why it wouldn't make sense unless it's coming to tell me this, that mahak Torah, harosh ba'atzmo v'haguf ba'atzmo, in the same way that when you bring up the olas of on the Mizbeach, the body is separate from the head, as I'm going to show you. Af malika, harosh ba'atzmo, the haguf ba'atzmo. There's no two ways about it. It's got to be that they are completely separated, because otherwise you run into an impossible situation because of the way that the Torah describes it. Because, look, it says, the pasuk originally says, that, let me just get the place here. It says, umalak et rosho, vihiktir hamizbecha, vinimtza damo. Now you see that that is ridiculous. You can't be melek the bird, put it on the mizbeach, and then press its blood out after it's been put on the mizbeach, obviously. But that pasuk makes no sense at all. So, what would it mean? It must mean, therefore, that you do the Malika the same way that you do the Haktorah. That's what the Torah's name Loshen is, that we just quoted. And we explained it in detail, that since it says after, but it says Beferish, after this Haktorah, and we've ignored this problem, it then says, Vishisa oto bichnafav v'iktir oto. Rip it open by pulling it apart with your hands, and then be makter it. But it said before you already were makter it, right? Therefore, there's clearly two separate acts of haktara. And how is that? The rosh was muktar first, then the body is vishisaoto bichnafav, and there's haktara on the body. So this explains exactly why we can have a mitzui, we can actually have a haktara, and that's haktara of the rosh, and we have a separate haktara of the guf, And that means that the Rosh is on its own and the Guf is on its own. So if that's the case in the Haktorah, then by comparing it to Umalak the Hiktir, as if nothing came between the two, it's teaching us that this is the same. And just like it needs to be compared, just like it says Beferish that there's two separate parts for the Haktorah, the Malak the Hiktir compares the Malika to the Haktorah. But obviously you couldn't invent, it can't mean literally you were Maktir because you need to do the mitzvah. So therefore we learn from here, from the combination of understanding the way that the Pasuk has presented it, we understand A, that there are two separate parts, and B, that they are meant to be compared, and that this teaches us that you've got to completely cut through both of the simonim. And even though we compared it to the chatas, it's not meant to be compared in that way. Rabbi Shmuel says, Kemishpat means Kemishpat, what we just spoke about. Remember, we have three options. So you're suggesting that it means Kemishpat Behema, because it's coming to take the place of the Chatas Behema. I said the most obvious way to explain this is that Kemishpat means what we just mentioned. Do the Chatas like this, and then do the Ola Kemishpat. Meaning, just like the Chatas, this is the only place that the Torah says Beferish. Instead of just saying the Malika, it says to do the Malika Mimul Oref. And that Lashon of Mimul Orpo, it does not say, it just says Umalak et Rosho V'Iktir. That's all it says by the Eila in the Parsha of Eila Sa'of, of the Nedava. Never said Mimul Orpo. First time that we figured out that Mimul Orpo, and that, of course, was the way our Mishnah began. What do we mean by Malika Mina Oref? We mean Mimul Oref, Haro'et Oref, right? How do we learn that? We only learned that from the Parsha of Chatas Of, where over there it says Mimul Orpo, but it did not say Mimul Orpo, it just said Malak by the din of the Eilas Of. That was brought as a Nedava. So therefore, it's coming to tell me this Chiddush, says Rabbi Shmuel. Ma chatat ha'of. So just like the chatas ha'of means mimul oref. Af eilas ha'of mimul oref. Ayol taina. Imal alan molek ve'ino mavdil b'siman echad. Afkan molek ve'ino mavdil b'siman echad. You'll tell me if I'm learning it from chatas, let me do it exactly the way I would do a chatas ha'of. Where it's over there, it says ve'lo yavdil. And that means that I can only cut through one siman. No, we know the answer to that. The answer to that is the ikrivo, like we said before. You cannot derive from the chatas ha'of a different type of chiyav in terms of the havdalah. That's why it's stressed the ikrivo, which we had brought initially. Okay, so now we've got a possibility that kemishpat means kemishpat chatas behima, or kemishpat would mean kemishpat, the actual mishpat of the Eilas Ha'of. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Aimer. Kemishpat actually means kemishpat chatat ha'of. In what sense? Malalan, ochez barosh ubagufu mazeh, afkan ochez barosh ubagufu mazeh. Huh? What does that mean? Michael Omar. It means, Achi Kamar, Malahalan, just there as you would say about the Chatas Ha'of. When you do the Hazoya, it's got to be that the head is attached to the body still, because it said Beferish, Velo Yavdil. So here too, in the case of the Eila, it means, Kamishpat, is to tell me that you actually need to have an attachment of the head to the body itself, and only then are you mazeh. What? So are you telling me? I thought we just learned that you always need to cut through both simanim. So are you telling me, ma'ala halan b'siman echad, that just like the way that the head remains attached to the body of the chatas ha'of is by cutting through only one of the simanim, I don't cut the other siman at all. Afkan b'siman echad? But it can't mean that. No. Therefore, it says, Vihikrivo, remember? Back in the Parsha of the Eilah Sa'of that was brought as an Adava. So then that means that there's a fundamental difference between the Malika of a Chata Sa'of and the Malika of an Eilah Sa'of. That teaches me that even though you're not allowed to be Mavdil in a Chata Sa'of, you have to be Mavdil in the Eilah Sa'of. However, it does not mean you can be Mavdil completely, because if it needs to be Kamishpat, Kamishpat the Chatasov, it must mean that you can only cut through Rov and not entirely. That's the Machlokas. Here we find Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that when you cut through both Simoni of the Eilah, you're cutting through only Rov, not Kulav. And that is the exact opposite of the Chachomim here, who learned that Bedavka you have to cut through both because of the Vihivdil. So wait a minute. The Tanakhama, the Chimiyalcher Danavkalon Mivamolak Viktir, according to the Tanakhama, we don't need the Vihikrivo, because we already learned, remember, from the fact that the Torah compares the Hakrova to the Malika, and it needs to be, each one needs to be separate. So we know it has to be separate. So why do we need the Vihikrivo to teach me never make the mistake of thinking that you're supposed to actually keep it together like you would a Chatas? No, the Eilah is fundamentally different. Obviously, the Eilah is fundamentally different. You told me that it's compared to the Haktorah. And the Haktorah, we saw clearly in the Pasuk that there were two separate acts of Haktorah, one of them on the Rosh, and one of them on the goof. So what do I need the Vihikrivo for at all? I'll tell you why. Eilah Vihikrivo. If it wouldn't have been for that Vihikrivo, I would have actually made the mistake of thinking what he's saying. My Kemishpat, Kemishpat Chatata'of. I would have thought that it needs to be the most recent discussion. We just discussed the Chatasov. Now you're saying Kamishpat. That makes the most sense. The Ikrivo tells me, no. I know that makes the most sense, but I'm telling you that's not what it means. So it must mean Kamishpat the Chatas Behima. But if it hadn't said the Ikrivo, I would have thought, what does it mean? Kamishpat? It means Kamishpat Chatataov. What about the fact that it says Umolak Vehikter, which means that they have to both be the same? And that cannot possibly be referring to the Chatas Behima, because after all, you're not allowed to do Havdolah on the Chatas Ha'of. So how could you possibly do the Malika separately? I would have thought that it doesn't come to tell me that they need to be separate. It just comes to tell me that just like the Haktarah can only be done on the top of the Mizbeah, Malika is only kosher if you walk up and you are going to bring it as on top of the Mizbeach. Because remember that the Eilah Sa'of has to be L'mala Michut HaSikra. So I would think, okay, so you need to actually do Malika there. Ashta D'Kasa Rachmana V'Hikrivo. Then it's coming to tell me, this V'Hikrivo is coming to tell me that it doesn't mean that. And that actually, it doesn't mean, according to the dinim of the Chatas Ha'of, so now I can learn what I learned, that it is not coming to tell me to be makriv only al Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. It's coming to tell me that it requires actually Havdalah. Okay, so now then that means that the Tanakhama essentially learned out three separate dinim, is what he said, which is by Achatas Behema. We learned that out, that it applies to an Eilah Sa'of. But that's not really true, because Achatas Behema, you said, just like the Achatas Behema cannot be brought from the Kesef of Meiser Sheni, and it has to come from Chulin. How do we know that that's true? Achatas Behema, Deina Ba'ela Min HaChulin. Minolam. Omril Chista. That we learn out from the Parai Shel Aaron and Yom HaKippurim. The Omar Kra, V'Hikriv Aaron et Par HaChatat Asher Lo. Why does it say Asher Lo? to teach me Misha law, it's got to be his own private funding. It cannot be funded by crowdfunding, lo Mishal Tzibur, and it cannot be funded from the money that he has from that he has from Meister Sheni.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, Rebbe. Does Rebbe want to do a new daf?
No,
we're going to go to the Mishnah once again.
So therefore, it's coming to tell me that you can actually always, any type of chatas is the way it says over here. This is the only time the Torah addresses it. So we learn out that chatas comes from here. How do we know that the same thing is true about the Elas Ha'ov? Because it says, Kemishpat chatas behima. Now, the next part I don't understand. You said that we learn out from the chatas behima that an Elas Ha'ov can only be brought during the daytime. And that was also learned from the same chatas, because it says, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, as we said before. So that would be another one of the dinim that we learn out from Parash al Aaron and Yom HaKippurim. But why do we need to learn it from there? Bayom, we have a general pasuk that talks about all of the korbanos. Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai b'yom tzavoto et b'nei Yisrael akriv et korbanayim. That b'yom is our general halacha, that all of these dinim are said dafka b'yom. So why did we have to go and learn it out from the chatas behima if we could have learned it out directly from the b'yom? You're right. Kidei nazba. We just brought that in. It was a mistake. And remember, we went through this in Zvachin, that B'yom and B'yodo HaYamonis is always said together with the idea Minachulin. And because of that, they're always mentioned as a threesome. But the truth is, it's only Kidei Nazva, because we know it from elsewhere. And therefore, we know that that's what we're going to have to say about the next question. Yado HaYamonit? You say that we learned out from the Chatas Behema to the Eilas Ha'of that you have to use Yado HaYamanit, but that's from the famous Drosha of Resh Lakish that was quoted by Rabbi Bar Bachana. The Omar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Omar Resh Lakish, Omar Shimon ben Lakish, Kol Makom, Shneamar Etzba O Kehuna, Eino El Yamin. Wherever we have that Lashon, we learned it out of the Mitzera, that it's got to mean the right hand. And therefore, since it uses that Lashon over here, it says, V'ikrivo ha-kohen, so then that should be Yamin, given directly in the Pasuk that's referring to the Eila. Why do we need to learn it out of the Chatas? Ein ala Yamin. So why did you say that? Well, not everybody holds that. V'idach, Rabbi Shimon would be saying, Kuhuna ba'ya etzba. Etzbalo by kuhuna. Remember that we learned before that that's a machlokas. It could be that since we don't have here both the kuhuna and etzba, so it's only the chachamim that say just kohen alone is sufficient to tell me it does say v'kva kohen. But Rabbi Shimon says if it just says kohen and it doesn't say etzba, it's not enough. So therefore, the Tanakama, if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, then you don't have to say that this is Kidei Nazba. This is actually essential. Okay, so we had Rabbi Yishmael. He was the one who learned that the din of Kemishpat is to tell me that the Malika has to be done Mimul Orpo. And he learned that out from the Kemishpat of Kemishpat, the Chatata Of, which was just mentioned. It does not continue to tell me the Velo Yavdil. That's because of the Vayikri Vo that we have in the beginning of Vayikra teaching us never to learn out that din from the Chatata Of. But how did the Tanakam and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, how did they know that the din of Malika by an Eila is the same as the din of the Malika of the Chatas? How did they know Mimul HaOref? That, they simply say, what's the big deal? If the Torah uses the Lashon of a Malak, and in one place it describes to you what the Malika is, you don't need a technical limud for that. You can simply say, Ma Matzinu, that this is the definition of that word Malika, that's all. So we don't need any kind of Hekesh, we don't need any kind of Gezer Shava. It's simply from the word Umalak. This is what the word seems to mean. So it's Ma Matzinu B'Chatas Ha'Oif, that Malika is Mimulorpo, Af Malika Shenemar Be'ilasa'of, the meaning of the word Malika is Mimul Orpo, without needing the word Kamishpat. So why did the Torah have to tell us Kamishpat? Either to compare it to the Kamishpat of the Chatas Behima, could be, or Kamishpat of the Dinim of Elasa'of. That's given as an Adava. Okay, Rabbi, so I wanted to finish here up to the Mishnah so that we shouldn't fall behind over Shavuos, since our next meeting for the Daf will only be on B'Mitzvah Shabbos, Bezrat Hashem.